Thrill Me.
This show is part of the Thrill Me Podcast Network. Experience more on Facebook and YouTube.
Hey, what's going on? This is Thomas Nicholas. Welcome to the Meh Meh Total Groove with your host, Tombstone, Josh.
What's up, everybody? Happy New Year, everyone, and welcome in to a brand new episode of the Metal Groove Podcast. I hope you all had an awesome Christmas, and this year has just started out in a really kick-ass fashion. I hope everything's going your way. Hey, man, it can only go up from here, man. 2024, let's ring in the new year with some metal. Let's talk about some music. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. I am Josh, and you are locked into the Thrill Me Podcast Network. Please make sure you like and subscribe wherever you're listening to this, whether it's on Spotify, iTunes, YouTube, anywhere, man. There's even this new place called Good Pods that we're a part of. I found a great community over there. Stoked to be a part of it. And so if you don't know about that app, check it out, man. A lot of good podcasts are on there. And it also helps you find podcasts that are similar to what you like. So go check it out. But anywhere you're hearing this voice, please make sure you give me a follow. And if you're feeling extra generous, share the show with your friends, man. Because like we say all around here, be a friend, tell a friend, spread the word, spread the news, and help my little show grow, man. We'd greatly, greatly appreciate it. All right. It is a new year, and I have a great subject on topic for today for you guys. But just real quick, I want to take a look back on last year. Man, I had a lot of fun guests on the show. There were some albums from bands that I liked that came out. Some were hits, some were misses. I did a lot of reviews. Put the spotlight on a lot of unknown bands or not as well-known bands or even bands in the Charleston area. Talked to a lot of bands that I ended up liking a lot and still are in my rotation to date. Our most downloaded show from the past year was an episode I did with Will of a band called Past the Fall. Man. That is an amazing band. He is a great dude. I love still talking to him to this day, man. I like reaching out just to see how he's doing, see how the band's progressing. Hopefully, they're getting their asses over here, man, because I want to see that awesomeness in person. But if you haven't heard that episode, please go check it out. Like I said, it's our most downloaded show. It's a great one. They're a killer band. All the bands that came on this year, whether it's the Midnight Devils, Atticus Chimps, Cult of She, I had a lot of great dudes join me on the program this past year. I mean, Tempting Fate, the drummer from Tempting Fate was on the show. I mean, all across the board, man. Blackheart Saints were on the show. I mean, it was a great year for awesome bands. And I feel like it can only go up from here, man. So while I'm thankful, huge shout out to everybody that joined me for the past year. I'm looking forward to what's coming up this year to share with you guys. And hey, next episode, I got a pretty cool one lined up for you guys. This band is awesome. And I can't wait to share that one with you. But the subject for today's show. This week, I'm taking a look at a popular band I'm not familiar with. This sounds familiar. Last year, I did a very similar episode whenever I was discovering, I'm using my air quotes here, discovering the band Ghost for the first time. So what I did is I took a look at their history. I listened to some of their songs. I kind of did like a mini review of their songs and then shared what I thought about them. And while they are an interesting band, they didn't really stick with me as something that I must be listening to. So if you're a fan of Ghost, I mean, I'm glad you like them. I love whenever people are into what they're into. They just weren't for me. So guess what? I'm trying that again. And you've seen those memes floating around where people like saying, hey, new year, new me. Well, guess what? I'm shooting for new year, new bands for me to check out. And as I always say, I'm open to suggestions from you guys, from the listeners to just throw out. I mean, I could be missing out on a gem of a band and I would never know it. This has been something that has always been the goal for the show, and I have stumbled upon some really awesome bands. Now, something that my kids would co-sign with this, I'm not very cool. I'm not very hip in the now. I'm not as in tune with what is going on with the mainstream anyways. I mean, like what's going on with bands and stuff. I like what I like and I kind of stick in my lane. But if a band comes along that I dig, man, I will pound the drum hard for them and I will help promote them as much as I can. and kind of spread the word, and I will listen to and then try to find bands that are similar to them. So I'm always open to suggestions for new bands, but when it comes to mainstream rock, it's not really what I'm into. And hey, we could go ahead and blame Five Finger Death Punch for my lack of trust in any new mainstream rock bands. I mean, any music, really. For an example, not too long ago, when my band was playing a show, we were in the middle of sets, and we were talking to crowd members, kind of taking suggestions on, hey, what would you guys like to hear? Maybe we know it, or maybe we can check it out and go listen to it real quick, and then we'll come back up here and play it. And somebody brought up Morgan Wallen to me. Now me, if you know anything about the show, I'm not a country music fan. I was not aware of this person, but I did say to them, hey, sure, let me go take a look at it. Let me talk to the guys, see if we know anything by her. We'll look up her music, and we can give it a try. And holy hell, you would have thought that I made fun of this guy's grandma. Which, hey, I would never do. Grandmas are freaking awesome, right? The fact that I didn't know who Morgan Wallen was, though, or even that it was a dude, was an insult, apparently. So I'm sorry, guy. I don't do country. Even my singer was like, hey, he doesn't do mainstream. That's just me. That's just an example of how out of tune with the mainstream I am. But anyways, not to bury the lead too much, today on the show, going to be taking a look at the band Sleep Token. Not very familiar with them at all. I know the name. The name is familiar, of course. They're a big band. I saw a cool article about them in their mask recently. They look creepy as hell, and I'm all for that. So I'm going to read about them. I'm going to read that article about the masks. I'm going to check out some songs, and then I'm going to give my honest opinion on them and see if there will be something that will float into my listening rotation. Okay, so before I talk about the band and their music, I feel like maybe I should know, you know, a little bit about who these guys are. So I'm going to read a little bit about them. And funny enough, the kind of inspiration for this show came from a friend of mine who has been a past guest on the show, did this post on Facebook where a music venue here locally was saying, like, who would you like to see come to town? And this friend of mine, Nick, suggested Sleep Token come here. I was like, well, if they're going to come here, I'm probably going to see them because that name sounds familiar, but I guess I need to check out and see if I like their music first because I'm not going to pay money to go see a band I don't like. So that was kind of a little bit of the inspiration behind it anyways, and I've been wanting to do another one of these discovery-type episodes. So shout out Nick. He also gave me an idea for some of the songs that we're going to be checking out, but I'll dive into that in a little bit. Let's take a look at who Sleep Token is. Well, Sleep Token are a British rock band from London, formed in 2016. They are a group of anonymous mass collective led by a frontman using the moniker Vessel. So this already sounds very similar to Ghost. I mean, that's just what it sounds like. Maybe they're influenced by him. I know Ghost hasn't been around that long, but they have been around longer than these guys. Sleep Token has been categorized under many different genres, including alternative metal, post-rock metal, progressive metal, and indie rock pop. Ooh, that pop scares me a little bit because I was not expecting the pop and Ghost music and it just kind of came in there out of nowhere. So up front, I'm hesitant. I don't know where we're going. After self-releasing their debut EP 1 in 2016, the band signed with Basic Records and issued a follow-up called 2 the next year. The group later signed with Spin Farm Records and released their debut full-length album Sundowning in 2019, which was followed by 2021's This Place Will Become Your Tomb. I like that. That's a good name. Tomb. I like it. It's ominous. Let's go. Third album, Take Me Back to Eden, was released in May of just last year. May of 2023. Nice. All right. So their members are Vessel. Then they have a number 2, a number 3, and a number 4, all in Roman characteristics. I mean, that's cool. That's interesting. I like the kind of hidden anonymous nature that they're going with here. Moving on, since their formation, the members of Sleep Token have remained anonymous. Rich Hobson of Metal Hammer explains that the members, who all wear masks and cloaks, obscure their faces, they don't talk on stage, and they have only done one interview. Okay, the not talking on stage, that's kind of a, I don't know if red flag is the right term, but that's kind of a, like I like banter with my bands. I kind of like some weird stuff going on, some humor. I mean, like you guys know, I'm a huge fan of Steel Panther. They do a lot of talking in between songs. So maybe I'm going to describe that there, or maybe I'm going to find out that this band's music speaks for itself. Maybe? Is that the past we're going on right here? Okay. Lead singer and primary songwriter for the band is known as the moniker Vessel, which we said earlier. Vessel and Two are the only members of the band who have been credited as performers on Sleep Token's studio albums. That's pretty cool. I like that. Maybe they just need the extra people for the live stage. Two is also the only member apart from Vessel who has been given songwriting credits. But we don't know who the hell he is anyway, so what's the matter? All right, the group's focus on anonymity and visual style have been likened to similar practices employed by Ghost, Slipknot, and Gwar. Slipknot and Gwar have a lot going on with their stage presence and their live show. I mean, even Corey Taylor is known to talk a lot in between songs, during songs. Corey Taylor's an awesome frontman. He knows how to put on the show. Slipknot's frontman, Corey Taylor, who I was just talking about, has praised the band's imagery and artistry, comparing their approach to the one Slipknot took in the band's early days. In 2017, Sleep Token's then new label, Basic Records, published a description of the band, which read, "A band that goes above and beyond simply writing and playing music. Sleep Token are said to be the mortal representatives of ancient deity known only as Sleep. Led by the masked and cloaked figure appointed Vessel, the master creator behind the music." This sounds exactly like Ghost. This feels like everything I was reading about Ghost. All right, anyways, moving on. When asked about Sleep, he stated that he is everywhere at all times. Vessel encountered Sleep in a dream with promise of glory and magnificence if Vessel found him. The second, a video interview and playthrough with Drummer 2 with YouTube channel Drumeo, talking about his earliest influences of new metal, drummers Joey Jordison, nice, Matthew McDonough of Mudvayne, to incorporating elements of United Kingdom's electronic music and hip-hop scenes to his playing style with Sleep Token, which he considers a blend of gospel music with that of Deftones drummer Abe Cunningham. Versatility should be all over this band if I'm reading this the way I'm reading this. If I'm understanding this correctly, I feel like this band's going to have a lot going on. All right, musically, Sleep Token have been categorized in a wide range of genres. I've already talked about that. Hobson has suggested that the band has a fluid approach to genre, claiming that they incorporate elements of everything from tech, metal, and alternative to pop and R&B. All right, the band's label, Spineful Records, has simply stated that in a world of form and genre, Sleep Token cannot be confined. The band have been vague about their influences, simply crediting a plethora of artists as inspiration. Early in their career, though, they did name Leprous, Agent Fresco, Bon Iver, and Meshuggah as influences. Are you kidding me? Meshuggah as an influence? Nice. Commentators have also poisted performers such as Deftones, Cult of Luna, Explosions in the Sky as other possible influences. All right, so the idea here is, it looks like they have three albums and a couple EPs and a single. So let's pull a short clip from each one of those. And I say a short clip because I don't want to get hit with a copyright strike, because sometimes I play songs on the show, it gets blocked in certain countries and it's a whole mess. And, you know, we're just going to see if it works. This is what we're going with. So this is what we're going to give a shot. And I could have picked any song, whether it was the highest ranking or the most amount of listens. But like I said earlier, this episode was slightly inspired by my friend and his Facebook post. So I reached out to him. He's a fellow musician. He's a past guest of the show. He's a friend. And he's a fan of this band. So I asked him for suggestions, man. I said, hey, I can go out there and pick any song, but what songs do you suggest? And his quote actually was pretty great, man. He said, hey, bro, could you pick out just one of Da Vinci's paintings from every era? You're asking for a big thing here. So I appreciate him. I appreciate his suggestions and his work. Now, he and I don't have the same taste in music, so I'm interested to check them out because I know he's a big fan, and I'm going to do my best to give a fair, unbiased review of each song without shitting on the band or without sounding too overpraising. I'm just going to try and give the best fair review that I can do, man. So let's dive in. And all of these will be fresh listens as I'm playing them for the show. It's going to be my first time hearing them. And I'm not familiar with anything these guys have ever played unless I've accidentally heard it before on the radio or in a store, but I wouldn't have known who the song was by anyway. So starting things off, we're going to start with a song called Fields of Elation, and this is from their first EP.
Fields of Elation.
Next up is a song from their second EP called Nazareth. Let's check it out. So again, like the first song, this one kind of starts out with a slow melodic pace. This one gets into the lyrics a little bit quicker. That first song, for a while there, I thought it was going to be instrumental only until the lyrics kicked in later. But this one, you're getting lyrics right up front. You're getting this beautiful story being told very ominous, kind of like there's some keyboards going on. Very cool, very mellow music again. This time, towards the end of the song is where you get the punch, you get the step up, you get the kind of chugging of the music. This a little bit heavier this time. So the band feels like they're progressing in a heavier style, maybe, or maybe that's just the way they wanted that song to go. But again, very similar to what was going on with the first EP with the song Fields of Elation. But in Nazareth, it kind of feels like they upped their game a little bit. It kind of feels a little bit stronger to me. I kind of felt myself kind of like just nodding along, kind of just rocking along to the song. But very cool, very good vibes. This band feels to me like maybe the composition of these songs is very important to them, and it feels like something that would be great for a soundtrack of a movie. That's just the vibes I'm getting, and you know, that's just what I'm getting from the first two songs. Very good, very soundtrack driven, orchestra kind of composition, but very cool, man. Very cool. All right, next up, let's go with a song called Jaws. This is a single. Let's check it out. Okay, so with the song Jaws, I'm getting the same kind of vibe from them. A little bit more of a chorus, a little bit more of a sing-song where people can kind of like anthematic kind of sing-along, pump your fist kind of jam. I'm still getting really heavy Breaking Benjamin vibes from this band. This has a little bit more of kind of like a mechanical sound to it, a little bit more where you can kind of get the little bit of Deftones influence in here too with the different background sounds, with the special effects. I mean, even the way the song kind of started. Kind of like this, just kind of like I said, kind of like that mechanical kind of Nine Inch Nails, kind of just kind of a weird vibe, but kind of progressing in a more sing-song style, if that makes any sense whatsoever. I don't know if this song was written as a single for something in particular, or if it was just a song they dropped, But it's a very cool song, very anthematic, very something you can kind of, like I said, you can have on a long drive, just kind of pump your fist to, enjoy as a background. Like if this song came on, you heard it, like, okay, cool, I'm not going to change this, I'm just going to vibe with it. That's just kind of the feeling I get from that one right there. Okay, moving on, we're going to go with a song called Higher from their full-length album called Sundowning. Let's jump into that. Okay, cool. So with this song Higher, I'm kind of getting the same vibes. It's kind of like they have their recipe of songwriting. It kind of feels like they're all in the same vein. Like there's a, not cookie cutter approach, but it feels like they have a very methodical way of writing their songs. And I don't mean that in a bad way. It just kind of, what I'm kind of getting at now is like, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Fool me three times, something's going on here. And that's not saying anything bad. I mean, all these songs have been great. They're very good, vibey songs. This one, you can tell the musicianship has stepped up, just to me personally. The drumming in the song, as a drummer, I'm listening to it, I'm like, wow, he has some cool shit going on. So while it's a cool song, and the production value of it, I guess from being a full-length album, seems greater. It seems like they've progressed in a way of getting tighter with their music, tighter with their composition. Still sounds like the same kind of song. I kind of feel like all of these songs could have been on the same album. Like if I didn't know they were separate, I would have thought they were all from the same album. But I guess, you know, if one band's great at doing something, that's what they do. So, but great song. Higher is a great song. I feel like that one's probably my favorite of the list so far. But let's keep this thing going, man. Up next is a song called Alkaline. And this is from the album, This Place Will Be Your Tomb. Ah, I still love that. I love the name of that. I love the name of that album. Okay, so with a song like Alkaline, I'm still feeling the same kind of songwriting process that's going on here. We have Tranquil. This is actually one of the quotes from whenever you listen to these songs. It's something that says, Tranquil instrumentation and soulful vocals with a sudden tech metal behind it. And man, like I said, I feel like I'm beating a dead horse. I'm kind of repeating myself constantly. While these are great songs, they all sound the same to me, to my hearing, just kind of in the same vein. And like again, you can see the progression in this band. You can see that their songwriting is getting tighter. It's kind of getting, like there's elements of heaviness and then there's elements of like soulful melodic calmness. And it's so weird the way they intertwine, they kind of got this weave going on of it's like in, it's out. where sometimes it feels like you're listening to just something kind of chill and vibe, and then here comes that Breaking Benjamin kind of heaviness, kind of breakdown towards the end of it, and then it fades back out with this melodic, beautiful sound that I can only relate to as something soundtrack you hear in a movie, and it's just, it's so cool, and it's so different. And it's like, I can't think of anything else that sounds like them that it's just kind of like, it's kind of cool. And I'm digging it, man. That's like the best thing I can say to this right now is I'm digging it. And I can't wait. Let's check out the next one. So the next song, the last one that we're going to be trying out right now is a song called Take Me Back to Eden from the album Take Me Back to Eden. That was a pretty sweet song to end with, I think. And I wasn't expecting an 8-minute jam, Nick. I wasn't expecting that one, dude. So appreciate that one right there. But that's no problem whatsoever. This one started out very quiet, very slow, and progressed. And it kind of made me, it put me on this wavelength of these guys are story writers, not songwriters. And I can appreciate that, man. I think it's a very cool aspect of their songwriting process to where everything has like a beginning, a climax, a middle, and then you come back down. You kind of wind yourself back down. It's like being on, I don't know what I can relate it to, but it's, I guess, a roller coaster. You know how a roller coaster kind of has that calm beginning? You hit the top of that roller coaster and then you come flying down, and then whenever it's time to work your way back to the stand that the roller coaster finishes in, you kind of get this kind of calm little weaving ride back in. And that's the only thing I can think to compare this to. So the bands I heard in there, I definitely heard the Deftones. I definitely heard a little bit of Tool. I definitely heard Breaking Benjamin. I feel like that's the most that my ears could relate to, because that's one of those bands I listen to more than the others. And the Breaking Benjamin I hear is only in the chugging breakdown type stuff. Everything else is very beautiful, very melodic. And, cool, man. So, I mean, all I can say, Sleep Token was a success. I feel like I liked them better than I did like Ghost. I feel like whenever I did the Ghost episode, I did like them, but I was still in the vein of, this ain't really for me. And whenever I read about Sleep Token, I seen that they had pop elements. I don't really hear the pop elements, maybe in the synthesizer type sound, but even to me, that's not very pop. Sleep Token sounds heavier. They sound better. You know, in reference to Ghost, and the only thing I really have to compare it to, because they seem very similar in their makeup and who they are as a band with the animity. And, but then whenever it comes to musicianship and kind of spreading apart the songwriting process, Sleep Token to me is head and shoulders above Ghost. With all that being said, is Sleep Token something I'm going to seek out and listen to all the time? I don't know, man. It's not exactly my cup of tea. Like, I want something heavy. I want something fast and maybe more punk influence. So maybe if Sleep Token had the breakdown elements of their song, if I could wrap that in a bottle and play just that part of it, you know, then they'd probably be for me. But Sleep Token is not going to be something I'm going to seek out to play. Now, if it comes on in rotation on my playlist, I'm not going to change it either. Something like that happened last year, again, with the Ghost thing. Whenever I was listening to their songs, they would come up whenever I put the playlist on auto. They would come up and I'd be like, okay, I don't feel like hearing that right now. Let's go ahead and skip that. But with Sleep Token, I feel like it's something I will probably check out on a more or I'll leave it playing on a more consistent basis. So Project Discover Sleep Token feels like a success. Very awesome band. Shout out once again to my friend Nick for suggesting the songs. They are pretty cool, man. And another thing that's really cool about this band is their mass. So let me read this article about the progression of their mass that I stumbled upon a couple weeks ago. Let's get into that. Let's dive into this article that I stumbled upon from Metal Injection. Sleep Token is clearly gearing up for a major 2024. The band's 2023 album, Take Me Back to Eden, which we just talked about, was somewhere to be found on basically every major year-end list. And Sleep Token has, so far, four shows lined up for the U.S. in the new year, two festival dates and two solo dates in New York and Colorado. With the calendar turning over to January and Sleep Token looking forward to another year comes a whole new look for the band, as Sleep Token members have traded their black masks for a way flashier look that feels equal parts old school new metal, there's that Slipknot again, and almost like fashion statement. What I'm getting at here is Sleep Token looks cool as hell, basically. And checking out these masks, man, some of them are pretty damn sinister. I don't know which person is which. Like, maybe this is the two guy. But he has kind of like an almost skull looking with this kind of braid coming out of the top of it, man. Looks very cool. Looks very sinister. Here we go. Yeah, they are in numbers. So here's three. He's rocking this very kind of tribal looking gold and black mask. And he's got freaking awesome. He looks like fucking Jeff Hardy, man. Actually, as a matter of fact, he looks awesome. And then here's the guys together. And let's see if it's number four. It is four. Look at there. So number four is where he almost looks like a character out of Mortal Kombat, actually, with this kind of gold base with a black top to his mask. I'm sure this sounds awesome to all you guys out there that's listening that can't see these masks. But they are very cool, man. So Sleep Token has unveiled their new masks. They are kind of a step up, I guess, in production and a step up in just kind of coolness. Yeah, they, like the guy said in the article, they're kind of making a fashion statement. And to be honest with you, that is one of the things that also influenced this episode, is that I did see the article about the masks, which made me look at them, and it made me kind of look into their history of the other masks and what they wore, and it kind of reminded me of other bands who have worn masks, whether it's Slipknot, Gwar, even if it's just face paint like Kiss, Alice Cooper, Buckethead. You know I love Buckethead. He always wears a mask. John 5 also, another one of those guys that, you know, does cool stuff with their face paint and stuff like that. And I feel like it's just another cool element that a band can add to their stage presence. Now, when I found out that they don't talk in between songs and they don't really have any kind of interaction or maybe stage presence, I don't know. I need to see these guys live. But I do know that the masks are a big sell for me. And it's kind of like the symbolism and the logos and the art behind what they're trying to push forward with their look. To me, that's kind of like a big sell. I love the artistry behind the music or alongside of the music. So Sleep Token, very, very cool band, dude. So anyways, this has been a fun episode. If you guys are fans of Sleep Token, please let me know what you guys think about them in those comments down there. Tell me what you think about their look, what you think about their songs. Maybe suggest some other songs to me. I am going to be diving a little bit deeper into the catalog to just see what else I can find, man. But as for this week's episode, that is a wrap. It was a good one. It was a fun time. It was a journey. It was a good one, man. So I had a lot of fun with it. I hope you guys enjoyed this week's show. A lot of cool bands are going to be going on tour. A lot of cool albums are be coming up in 2024. I guess my most anticipated albums are Sum 41's, Judas Priest, and Green Day all have albums coming out this year. And there's going to be drops and releases all throughout the year. So to say what I'm most anticipated for at the beginning of the year, it's kind of like a wash. Because, you know, just if I'm anticipating for something now, something better might come out later this year. So we'll address them as they come out. I'm not going to do this most anticipated of the year stuff. But if you do like that kind of things, or if you like reviews from the past year, please go check out the review at Rob's show. He just did his top 10 movies of 2023, and you can be on the lookout for his most anticipated movies of 2024. And all those guys over there at the Throw Me Podcast Network, they have great shows about movies, about pop culture, and they're going to be talking about last year, and they're going to be talking about this year, man. So make sure you guys like and subscribe, tune into all those fantastic shows. We appreciate the support. Go get a Metal Groove t-shirt from our TeePublic store. So make sure you guys go check that out as well, man. And I think I got all of the business stuff wrapped up here. I think I've done it all. We talked everything. It's going to be a great year. I'm so glad you guys are tuned in. Let's do some big things this year. And please stay tuned for my next episode because I'm talking to a badass drummer. I love having him on the show. It's a good time. And I appreciate you guys. And until next week, stay metal. We'll see you later.
Hey, that's the show for this week. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Please make sure you hit that like and subscribe button. And join us here at the Thrill Me Podcast Network, where you can check out phenomenal shows like Haunters Podcast, The Review at Rob Show, The Mr. Wonderful Show, and Core Memory Unlocked. We greatly appreciate you. And until next time, stay metal.